This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. We've got week zero in college football coming up. And to discuss, a gentleman that's made a seamless transition. I'm sure if he wants to coach again, he will. But he's awesome for ESPN as a college football analyst. Of course, Dan Mullen, former head coach, Florida, Mississippi State. Now with ESPN, where he's killing it. At Coach Dan Mullen on Twitter. We say hi to Coach on the Progressive Guest Line. Coach, I'll start here as we're excited for college football to get going. Have you adjusted to all the changes? There's no Nick Saban realignment. We've got Cal in the ACC. Have you kind of gained your bearings with all the adjustments in college football as we start?
Standing that everybody's there, but I'm going to tell you, I think during the season, they're going to hit you at different times. You know, when you're turning on, like, you know, Cal SMU as an ACC game or whatever, you know, with those things happening, there's going to be a lot of different things that come up during the course of the year that you're not used to seeing. And the traditional college football fan's going to sit there and be taken aback, even though I think everybody has kind of wrapped their head around it going into the season. In the middle of the season, I think it's going to shake everybody up of where they're at and where their team's at with the 12-team playoff, all the different realignments, what's happening, where their team stands, and what the future holds is going to be pretty interesting.
Coach, I want to ask you, I mentioned Nick Saban. It's going to be weird to not have Nick Saban on the sideline there at Alabama. But can you tell us about the job that Kalen DeBoer has in front of him? Because we look at these numbers and try to understand what the football team is. But how about just following a legend as far as DeBoer?
Well, I think that's one of the hardest jobs to do. You know, he's got to come in and he's going to implement his program. And you know, and build the program. You can't imitate somebody. You know, you have to build the head coach. The program is going to be kind of what you believe in and who you are. And I think it's really important that Kalen DeBoer does that. However, he's got to respect everything and embrace everything that Nick has done. You can't come into the players and say, hey, guys, this is the best way to do it. And the players looking, scratching their head, saying, well, you know, we've done it this the other way here with all these national championships. So we know that way works. And that player buy-in is so huge. But I think the one thing that I've seen from Kalen DeBoer that has been fantastic, one, he's an extremely intelligent football coach. He's not afraid to think outside the box. I think he is embraced, which is not the easiest thing to do, but he's embraced having Nick Saban right down the hall. You know, if you see Nick still around the program, involved in the program, around the building, and which is a really smart thing for Kalen DeBoer to do. I was fortunate enough when I was coaching at the University of Florida, I had Steve Spurrier right down the hall. And to me, you know, hey, I want to tap into that knowledge as much as possible. And I think Kalen DeBoer is someone that he can put the ego aside, if you will, that some people have, or I don't know if it's ego or sense of insecurity. He could put that aside, you know, and say, hey, listen, I know this is my program. I'm in charge of this now, but I have one of the greatest coaches in the history of the game right down the hall. I'm going to take his knowledge and take anything he'll give me to help us continue to make Alabama a great football program. And Kalen DeBoer so far has been the right guy to do that.
Talking to Coach Dan Mullen, of course, ESPN college football analyst, former head coach, many years. So I'm looking at the board, Coach, and Georgia and Ohio State, those are your two favorites to win a national championship. And then there's a bit of a separation. You get to Oregon, Texas, Ole Miss. Should Georgia and Ohio State kind of be on their own tier?
I don't know about that, you know, and I think you look at things. I think Texas certainly made a statement last year that they belong. I mean, they actually went to the playoffs over Georgia last year, and they have a, you know, quarterback coming back. They brought in some talent on the edge, even though they lost some. You know, Oregon, hey, anytime you have a veteran quarterback that's played a lot of football and won on a talented roster, you're dangerous. They get Ohio State at home, which is going to be pretty exciting. I think they're certainly going to be in the mix and have something to do with it. And I think, you know, the thing that you're getting into now, when you're getting to this 12-team playoff, I think things are going to be a little bit different in that 12-team playoff. And I do think that obviously Ohio State and Georgia both have fantastic football teams, are both really good. And so they're going to be tough to beat. But I think there's going to be a lot more teams out there that potentially can give them a run for the money. And, I think winning that conference title and getting that bye in the first round of the playoffs is going to be pretty big. And, a lot is going to have to do with schedule to who gets into the championship game. I think there's, people thought there was some controversy before. I think we could have a whole bunch of teams that, you could make the argument should be in that 12-team playoff at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating, Coach. I'm curious, have you thought through, do you like the 12-team playoff? We could see some gamesmanship towards the end of the year, as you mentioned, when the polls start jockeying. I mean, it's going to be great entertainment. Are you in favor of the 12 teams?
Sure. We'll see. I guess I come from the coaching realm, right? Which is they tell us what we're doing and we adapt to make it happen as a coach.
Right.
I don't think they went to the coach and said, hey, like the coaches weren't the ones that voted on everything, and I think coaches are great with it. But I think, what's going to be very interesting, and you see a lot of the predictions coming out now, you go to the ACC, I wouldn't be surprised. There could be 4-10-2 teams in the ACC with Clemson, Florida State, Miami, and NC State. Because you look at the schedules and who people don't play, that would be interesting. Or, is a 10-2 team from the ACC getting left out? You look at the Big Ten, and, I always think to win a championship, a lot comes, you have to stay healthy, one, and then you look at your schedule. Obviously, you have to have talent, right? You have to be a very talented team. But when you have a talented team, you're going to look and say, okay, if we stay healthy as a team with this roster we have a team to compete for a championship. Okay, let's look at our schedule. Does it line up in a favorable way for us? Because you go to the Big Ten, I'm going to yell, people are going to freak out on this one. Go look at Iowa's schedule, and you're going to look and say, I see 10-2 there. And you're going to go look at Penn State and say, I see 10-2 there. And you're going to see Ohio State. You're going to say, could be 11-1 or 10-2. Oregon, 11-1, 10-2. Michigan, 11-1, 10-2. Okay, well, who's getting in out of the Big Ten? Then you go down to the SEC and you look at a team like Missouri, who has the easiest schedule and maybe all of college football this year, one of the easiest schedules in college football this year. Certainly, I think the easiest schedule in the SEC easily could be a 10 or 11 win team, with how that lines up. So throw them into the mix with Georgia, with Alabama, with Texas, with Ole Miss, who has a very favorable schedule and a very talented roster returning. And then you have Tennessee and LSU as sleeper teams right there. And then you go to the, to the Big 12 and you look and you say, okay, well, Oklahoma State has a great roster returning. Utah has an excellent roster returning. There's some talent at Arizona. How's that going to play out? Who are going to be the 12 teams? And I think there's going to be an argument at the end where, there's an awful lot of teams that are vying for that position. And you're going to look at some schedules and say, this team had a talented roster, some really good players, a favorable schedule. They got 10 wins. Does that put them in the playoffs? Because you might have a group of teams that are deserving, and then you're going to be scratching your head who's in, who's out at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Last one from me, Coach. Oregon to the Big Ten. Do you think there's a lot of love for Lanning in Oregon right now? Do you think that is going to be an adjustment for Oregon moving conferences?
I think it certainly will. I think, the benefit plan in the Northwest, they play in some pretty bad weather games late in the year. Their guys have played in some rougher games more than the Southern California teams that like that beautiful weather. But I think it will. I think, you also have to think of the Big Ten's adjustment to Oregon, who's going to play a little bit more of a wide open speed game than a lot of Big Ten teams. And so I think the adjustment goes both ways. I'm a college football traditionalist. I love the rivalries. I love all of this stuff that, was all about college football. in the past, and all the regional rivalries where there's so much local passion, but it's become a much more of a national game. And I think the realignment has really set up now as much more of a national game with teams playing national schedules. And that's kind of shown in the realignment. I think Oregon has a great recipe to have a very successful year.
Coach, look forward to watching you all season on ESPN. Coach Dan Mullen, you can find him on Twitter at Coach Dan Mullen as well. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate the time today.
Anytime. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you. It's a good booking by the big guy. Enjoy our conversations with Dan Mullen. He is very good on TV. Yeah, he'll say some things.
Oh, and he has energy, he's fun, and I really like what he was saying about the impact where all these teams are going to be 10-2. To your point about the gamesmanship, I think we're going to live in a world where a team like Georgia understands that they're playing with a mulligan, that they know that they can lose one game and we're going to see a different side of them. I don't know, good, bad, how that plays out, but I do think it's going to give some of these teams some breathing room where they've been conditioned for, like, I don't know, the last 20 years to think one loss and the season is potentially over. I think this opportunity with the 12-team playoff, we could see a team lose one, two games and still be alive, and that could change the way things, these teams approach the final three, 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and it's okay, even for professional bettors, to say, we don't know how it's going to look. This is going to be a weird year of a lot of feeling out, and towards the end of the year, there could be a lot of gamesmanship. Speaking of games, Sharp Money Survivor is up next. Sports Betting Network got a bunch of baseball plays coming up for you in just about 15 minutes with Derek Carty, Major League Baseball handicapper, ESPN Roto Grinders covers he all over. And then WBF, Wet Blanket Fezzik, professional bettor Steve Fezzik's going to stop by. He's got three up, three down in NFL. He's one of the best NFL cappers on the planet, so he's got a lot. He sent a lot of notes, including through a wet blanket over our horse racing. We got to call him out. The questions continue to pour in. SharpMoney at VSiN.com. Ask a pro, which is what we do with Fezzik on Mondays. Look. Was I intimidated? I wouldn't use that term. I'm in Los Angeles. Dustin Sweetelson is downtown Las Vegas at the D. And I don't care about swearing, but the way you approached the last break, it was shockingly dirty and angry. And I just thought I'd tell you.
Yeah, look, society is soft. And, like, I'm probably, like, as guilty as anyone. I'm not a tough person by any means.
No, like, for sure not.
The last fight I was, a legit fight, not just, like, someone at the bar and, like, pushing around, was, like, seventh grade. I beat that kid up, but, like, it wasn't impressive. Like, he wasn't,
totally.
He wasn't a tough kid. So I backed down from every tough fight I've ever had in my entire life. But people are weird, man. They get in their feelings about things that don't matter, reaching out about people unfollowing them on social media. And if you're one of these people, I just want you to know, it doesn't matter. We're all going to die one day. Whether or not I follow you or not, just doesn't matter. To ask me why I'm unfollowing you now, just read your timeline. That should tell you why I'm not following you. I don't like what you have to say about anything. And that's okay. You can unfollow me too, and we can move on with our lives. Twitter's not real life, people.
That was a nihilistic approach that you just took there with eventually we're all going to die. And nihilistic from the big guy. And again, I'm just here to pump you up, gas you up. I can tell you that the boys in the closet, you know, our engineers, they were not happy with the language you were using during the
break.
That's
fine.
All I'm saying.
That's fine. Look, I have a finite amount of time on this earth. And within that,
that's
a
true.
Finite amount of time spent on social media. I don't want people's thoughts that I don't care about showing up in my feed. That's all. It's nothing personal. I don't dislike you. I don't think anything of you. That's the problem here. And you think too much of it because you think you should reach out to me and ask me what happened, what went wrong. It's like me when the first girl I ever dated broke up with me and I tried to get an answer. I don't understand. I did everything right. What went wrong? She's like, this is what went wrong. The way you're reacting to me saying that I want to break up with you is why it's over.
It's amazing. The words just keep coming out of your mouth. You just don't stop. And it's like, I don't even know if you're saying anything interesting. I just, I'm blown away by the volume. Right? You're just talking in circles.
I'm not, just.
Now I'm being a jerk to you for no reason.
Yeah, no, but like, my day is disrupted because this person has to reach out to me to ask why I unfollowed
them. I didn't
do
anything, bro. I literally didn't do anything. You were just yelling at me during the break about this guy. Look, stop being on social media. Stop being a loser. Hey, speaking of which, you know, we're going to get to our Sharp Money Survivor. We got baseball plays coming up. This is how crazy it's become. I told you like a month or two ago, I was just walking along the strand here by the beach, and I saw coming this way, Chip Kelly.
Yes.
Chip, this is how weird the college football landscape is. Chip Kelly, literally, he didn't have to go anywhere. He got a five-star kid, the kid from Michigan, to come play quarterback. He had DTR for all those years. UCLA was not even close to firing him.
No, the bars
could have had that job for as long as he wanted. He's completely under the radar behind USC football is so on another planet in Los Angeles. It's not even funny. And I'm watching him, and he's walking, and he was talking hands-free. My guess is he was talking to Ryan Day. Because I'm just like, he's walking, and think about this. He's given up. He was walking along the beach. He's giving that up to go call plays in Columbus, Ohio. That's how weird the landscape for college coaches has become.
Well, he just wanted to make his life more efficient. He said, hold on. I can be the head coach of UCLA with low expectations here, right? I can lead this team. We can win a few games, whatever. We're never going to win a national title. But also, I have to waste my time with all this other stuff. I love coaching ball. You mean I can go to Ohio State, contend for a national title, and I don't have to do any of the other NIL stuff that the head coach has to do? I don't have to go to all the booster club meetings and shake all the hands and be the presidential type candidate in Columbus, Ohio. I can just dial up an offense with, by the way, all 4- and 5-star recruits. Okay, cool. Life got easier. We can win titles. I'm just coaching ball. That is called life efficiency.
Okay. Well done, big guy. Hey, look, I'm just passing along what Halterman just texted us. You know, Aaron Halterman, racingdudes.com. He said, dropping, quote, we're all going to die on a Monday, the big guy, positive vibes. So, again, you're having a bit of a tertiary effect on others' moods today.
Okay, how about this? I might be immortal. It means I have infinite time. And still, the things this person was saying on Twitter, I don't want to see.
That's a great point. It's a great, listen, everything, you've been spot on today. It's like when you think of your broadcasting abilities, the last hour and 21 minutes, it's right up there with you and Will Hill on a Sunday.
And if we're being fair, with the doctor results I get from all my physicals where they say I defy science, I might live forever. There is a chance I continue to defy science. The fact that I look like this and I do not have diabetes is a minor miracle.
And you know what's great about you? Because I'm excited about tonight, the quest for $9.2 million with the documentary, 5-part docuseries. We're airing tonight at VSiN Live on YouTube TV and, of course, at VSiN.com/survivor. Again, my favorite part about this documentary is Dustin, his whole entire life, he's just wanted to be on TV. Yep. That's his whole goal. He brags about one time he drove somebody from the real world around. And he's told me the story 20 million times.
He was my roommate.
If you think he gets windy talking about this guy on Twitter, you should hear him talking about hanging out with Puck, okay? But he called me last year, and he was hanging out with your girl, Donk Smalls, and they were filming a documentary. He got on the wrong documentary. He went in the documentary that's never going to see the light of day, and tonight, the rest of the Donks here at VSiN are going to be on the right documentary. So that's a bad job by you.
Sounds like an opportunity for me to get in on the next one, though. Everyone else wasted their bullet on this one. I'm going to be the star of the next one.
Let's get to our star today. Start off a brand new Circa Survivor. Excuse me. Sharp Money Survivor, Dustin.
Jake Novakovich dropped an email telling me how much he loves the show. That's pretty much all the buttering up I need to get you into this contest. I hold the keys to it. You want to be the Sharp Money Survivor, you email a pitch sharpmoney at VSiN.com, and Jake did so. Our guy from Pittsburgh, and he points that out in this video, is going to go with an MLB player prop. Here he is with his Sharp Money Survivor play for today.
How long can you last? It's time to see how the listeners of VSiN do. Your best plays. Your best bets. Longest streak wins.
We're going streaking!
It's Sharp Money Survivor. Pick or die.
What's up, Sharp Money fam? This is Jake with Sports Bet Splits on X. I am from Pittsburgh, as you can see here. Hail to Pitt. I've been listening to VSiN since 2019 and just wanted to say thank you to VSiN, Dustin, and Patrick for the opportunity to be on here today. My pick for today is Trevor Rogers of the Baltimore Orioles under 15 and a half outs. His last three starts, he has pitched five innings or less, and four out of the last five have been five innings or less. Let's keep that streak alive and start a new one here on Sharp Money.
Great job, Jake. And you don't thank us. We thank you. Welcome to the family. I hope you pick for 27 straight days. Jake Novakovic is Pittsburgh through and through. He's got the accent. He looks like a young Mike Ditka. He's got a lot going on. That dude is Pittsburgh through and through.
Jake, I want it, after you win today and the heater begins, I want you to do the next pick while eating a Permane Brothers sandwich. It's the only sandwich I've never had that I've always wanted my entire life. It looks delicious. It's Pittsburgh-based. Second, don't thank VSiN. I know we're on VSiN, but they actually have nothing to do with this contest. It is just me and Patrick ponying up the money.
No, they literally didn't want to support it.
Yeah, it is just it is us against the world. Money's coming out of my pocket. Now, it's only $50.
Well, $500's coming out of my pocket, you big donkey. No, to say there was a lack of support for the contest would be an understatement.
Look, Kyle Shanahan.
But that's the show.
Yeah.
We are a rogue show. We just do us.
Kyle Shanahan said the Niners last year, against all odds, this show, this contest, still going against all odds.
That's right. It's a good job. Dustin, great segment. Coming up next, Major League Baseball picks. Derek Carty, ESPN Roto Grinders. We back. Sharp Money. Okay, Sharp Money, Fezzik's coming up in about 29 minutes. Right now, we're going to talk to Major League Baseball handicapper Derek Carty, ESPN, Roto Grinders, Covers, EV Analytics. You can find Derek on Twitter at Derek Carty as well. He is in God's country, hanging out at the Jersey Shore, which is great. We say hi to Derek. Derek, welcome to the program. This is my first time getting a chance to speak with you. I always like to talk about the journey into sports betting. If you wouldn't mind just giving us a little bit of your story.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in the sports analytics field for 15 or so years now, well before sports betting was legal. I was on the baseball analytics side, the fantasy baseball side, then into DFS, and then into sports betting as well the last last few years now. But yeah, I mean, over my years in the industry, I've worked with a lot of really, really smart people, a lot of people who are making decisions for major league clubs now, people I've learned a lot from, kind of helped me learn, you know, all the methods and everything I use to build my projection systems, which have done pretty well for bettors.
No, he's being humble. His projections have done more than pretty well. Known in the industry. I will say I've done a lot of interviews with people. It's the nicest house we've ever had somebody interviewed from. That is, the analytics are doing well, my friend. All right, let's start. We'll get into some baseball. Dustin, I'll hit you up with the props, but I'll start here. The Angels at the Royals. I think you're going to take a nice little price here with the Angels.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Angels money line here. Angels, you can get plus 200, plus 205. They're facing Seth Lugo, who's, I mean, at one point, I mean, in the Cy Young conversation, he has like a 3 ERA, but he's just not this good. He's the same guy he's always been. You look at his peripherals, they're exactly the same. You look at his stuff metrics, they're exactly the same. This is a guy who's just getting by on, on kind of getting lucky, and I think the market is overrating him, which is giving us even more value on the Angels than we might otherwise get, because the Angels are a bad team, and there's usually going to be values on the Angels anyway, because people don't want to bet on the Angels. They don't like to bet on the bad teams. And so that's why the books give us lines where there's actually value to bet on the bad team. So give me some Angels today.
I love it. Take a shot. And I see that. I also like that run line. I like to see the plus 1.5. You get a plus price on that run line as well, big guy. Big guy, go ahead and set Derek up on these props.
Yeah, and Lugo hasn't been right lately, but a guy who has been right is Jackson Holliday for the Orioles since getting called back up, hitting about 275 homers over the last month, Derek. When you see his matchup tonight with Quintana, what are you going to do with Jackson Holliday in Baltimore?
My favorite bet on him today, I like his walks over half a walk for, I got it at plus 260 earlier today. Jackson Holliday is a guy who he came up earlier in the year, really, really struggled. But we knew he was a top prospect. He came up, was exposed to the big leagues, didn't do well, but got the feedback he needed, went back to the minors, worked on it, came back up, and he's been great since then. But the books seem like they're kind of, I mean, they've been doing this for weeks now, but they're setting his lines based on his entire year, when earlier in the year really isn't representative of who he is as a prospect, who he is now. With the way he's hitting, with the way pitchers are respecting him more now, he's drawing more walks, and that's something that we should expect him to do going forward. In AAA, he had a 20% walk rate, and in the majors, you know, his first cup of coffee, he had like a 4% or something. Like, that's going up, and it has. And when you're going to give us plus 260 against a guy who has been, you know, issuing some walks lately, I like the value on this one quite a bit.
Okay, then on the hill for Baltimore, Derek, we've got Trevor Rogers. Things haven't really gone great the first few starts for Baltimore. However, facing a Mets lineup he's familiar with, so an intriguing matchup here. When you look at backing or betting on Trevor Rogers, what are you looking at doing with him, fade or backing him today against the Mets?
I'm looking at the walks market for him also, but on the pitching side, under 1.5 walks allowed. I got it at plus 180 earlier. I think your best line now is maybe like plus 140 or so. Really, these pitcher walk unders have been great this year. It's a market that I just love. The books don't seem to price them very well. This is a guy who, he's not amazing. But Baltimore is a team that's going to keep him on kind of a shorter leash. Like, he's like an 85 pitch guy, so he's not going to go super deep. The Mets are a below average walk team. This is a spot where you should project him to, you know, go over or under this line close to 50% of the time. And if they're going to give us big plus money on it, you're just going to take that and any other like it over the course of the year, and you're going to profit.
Talking to our buddy Derek Carty, Major League Baseball handicapper. He does a lot of sports, though. ESPN Roto Grinders covers EV analytics at Derek Carty. A must follow on Twitter. I will say this about Jackson Holliday. Look, I know I'm an old man, but that's the youngest looking human being that's ever existed. Like, it does. Derek, you got a baby face too. That kid looks so young. Am I crazy, guys? He just looks like a child.
Yeah, I mean, he is young though. Like, how old?
He's 20.
20?
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
He's 20. No. He was born the year I graduated high school.
Okay, touche, boys, touche. But yeah, he still looks young.
No, he looks like he could be in the Little League World Series right now.
I know, it's crazy. All right, go ahead and set Derek up on another prop here, big guy.
All right, this kid pitching for Cincinnati, Julian Aguiar. Don't know much about him. Obviously, the Reds can always use more pitchers. Attacking him today in the walk market as well, Derek?
Yep, very similar bet, very similar reasons. He's a guy who in the minors did not go very deep, 75, 80 pitches. Not a real prospect, but a guy who does profile with plus control, plus command. So against a team that, again, a little bit below average for walks, this is a good spot for him. I'm projecting him to hit this 59% of the time. So if you're going to give me plus 125 for it, I'm gonna take that.
On the under.
On the under.
Yes, awesome. Awesome. All
and right. Then one more big guy.
Last one, Joe Boyle. Don't know what to make of this guy for the A's. I'm fading him in the game today. I'm backing the Rays, but Taj Bradley hasn't been great lately. However, Joe Boyle just doesn't have good stats on the year. Again, another walk prop. How are you attacking Joe Boyle?
Same thing. Under 2.5 plus 145. It's moved. I think the best you can find now is maybe 135 or 125, which I think says something that even though Joe Boyle has been walking guys like crazy, the market is still moving down on him. 2.5 walks is a big number for anybody. Even a guy with bad control, 3 walks in a game is always going to be a tall order. It's another one where I haven't projected to win this, you know, to go under 54% of the time, and you're giving it to me at plus 145. So I just play a bunch of these, and, you know, you're going to hit some, you're going to lose some, but you're going to come out on top in the end because they're just giving us the odds on it.
Well, he started with the 2-1 plus 205 on the Angels, and then he just gave us prices on prices the rest of the way. You love to see it. I want to ask you just, we got about 3 minutes here, Derek. Another Derek. You're bullish on Derek Carr's passing overs this year. How come?
Mostly because everyone hates him and thinks he's bad. And the market certainly does because they have him priced at 3,300 yards. If he plays a full season and doesn't get hurt, I haven't projected for over 4,000. Even with like a, you know, missing a quarter of the year due to injury, being very, very conservative, I still haven't projected about 350 yards over this number. He plays in a very fast-paced offense, which I don't think people realize. Bringing over Kubiak now, his offense in Minnesota was really fast. So this is a New Orleans offense that should be getting a lot of plays run, which should mean more volume for Carr, which is a good thing. They'll be playing from behind in plenty of games where he'll be getting garbage time stats. They'll be playing indoors a lot. And he's done this every year of his career except his rookie year. So it's just, the number's just too low.
Yeah, that's a you're right. The perception of Derek Carr doesn't equal the overall production in his career. Russell Wilson, we were having this conversation, Derek, just a bit ago. He's toast. That offense is going to be brutal to watch.
Yeah, I don't know how many books still have his props up, but any that do, he was up around, you know, 2,700, 2,500 passing yards. I'll bet the under on him for sure. He's not good anymore. He's in an offense that's going to be run by Arthur Smith that projects as the most run-heavy offense in all of football. And then he has Justin Fields behind him who, I mean, there's a chance that Justin Fields starts on opening day, you know, week one. When I looked the last time, I think Wilson betting markets had him as a, I forget, I think about $5 like an
favorite.
80%. Yeah, like an 80% favorite to start on week one. But that means there's 20% chance of Fields starting week one. And there's plenty of chance that Fields comes in after the fact because Wilson gets hurt or he's bad. I'll take his unders all day.
100%. 100%. Derek Carty, Major League Baseball handicapper, of course, football as well. ESPN Roto Grinders covers EV analytics. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter at Derek Carty. On X. Derek, great stuff. We'll talk to you as the season gets closer. Enjoy the shore. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me on.
You got it, buddy. Like that. Like the cut of his jib with all those prices today, big guy. If you missed any of the props, we're going to throw them up on the best bets page over at vsin.com. Now, he's at the Jersey Shore. That is Giants country. We're Jets country. We need to talk about Daniel Jones coming back. Larry, our engineer, my good friend, tiptoeing delicately around the big guy's mood today. It's what you get on a Monday. Am I right? Sharp Money, as we welcome you back. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson hanging out at the D in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. So we've got a lot to do. Fezzik, Ask the Pro, coming up in just about 14 minutes. We've got a lot of emails that have come in. You know, I got beef with Fez, and we're going to start there. Threw a little wet blanket on our horse racing. We'll have a conversation. You got 3 up, 3 down in the NFL. Of course, the quarterbacks are a big conversation coming out of the weekend. I love that play on Derek Carr. That is a disrespectful number in the market. If he stays healthy, he's going to go well over that passing prop. And the Russell Wilson, Justin Fields conversation in week one continues to be interesting. Bo Nix is going to be your starter. The Commanders announced that Jaden Daniels, no surprise here, vibes are remarkably high with the Commanders this year. And if you missed it, last week we put together our little bet. And it's interesting because I got clowned on for essentially saying I think the Commanders could be a postseason, a playoff team this year. And Mike Somich and Dustin Swedelson, you know, looked down their noses at me. I mean, they wouldn't combine 2 and 100 this weekend, the two of them. So you never know. So I said, here's the deal. The Commanders are sitting 6.5 in the market. I've got the Commanders this year. You have to pick a team 6.5 or less, and we're going to put up some real cash on the program. Somich went second, and Fezzik's going to talk about the Raiders. Cohen, plug your ears. He picked the Raiders, all right, which didn't necessarily make me nervous. And then the kicker was the big guy who followed up with the Carolina Panthers. So, again, and then we decided it's going to be $1,000. The loser pays a G, right? A dime. Now, a couple of things. One, I'm guaranteed not to lose. There aren't many guarantees in life, but Carolina and Vegas, one of those two will finish worse than the Commanders. I can guarantee you that. So my money, safe AF. So I don't know. Again, just dealing with the mood swings from the big guy today, and maybe it's the Carolina Panthers because he picked them. He sure did.
You cornered us. Like, let's not play this like we were saying Carolina was going to be better than Washington, that the Raiders were going to be better than Washington. You said, I'm bullish on Washington. Me and Mike just looked at each other. You got offended, Snowflake. You got upset that we didn't think that they were going to be awesome. And because of that, you then said, all right, same win total as them. Find a team that you think is going to do better. Of that group, Washington has the highest upside because they have Jaden Daniels. But don't worry, I found a team that's going to exceed expectations in Carolina. They're definitely better than Mike Somich's choice, the Las Vegas Raiders. But we didn't have many great options to choose from since we're starting with the Commanders at 6.5. Were we going to go with the Vikings? Luckily, we didn't go with the Vikings because at some point, J.J. McCarthy would have came in, and who knows how that would have played out. We're going to go with the Giants. We're not going to go with the Giants. They have Daniel Jones. Seen enough. We're going to go with the Titans. Schedule's awful. Can't go with the Broncos and Bo Nix. Can't go with the Patriots and Jacoby Brissett. We were limited in our options here because you cornered us. But I don't care. I'm going to win the contest anyway.
A couple of minor corrections, if I may. And again, it's dicey today with you. First off, content. It's all I do. When I came up with the idea, I was in the throes of COVID. So all I ever do is just try to come up with content, came up with content, lateral bit for an NFL season. You're welcome. Nobody forced you to pick the Dave Canales and the Carolina Panthers. So that's on you. You're getting defensive like you're Bill Belichick over here. No need to get defensive and start putting me down. All right. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're just acting like we wouldn't both acknowledge the Commanders are the highest upside of the teams with 6.5 win totals. That's all. That's all I'm trying to say.
Oh, no. Now he's a Commander fan. No. That is interesting. That's interesting. The revisionist history. Now he likes the Commanders.
Oh, no.
When I said the Commanders could potentially be a postseason team, he literally laughed at me.
Going over 6.5 wins and being a postseason team are two very different conversations.
Dummy. Pay attention. Listen to me, because I'm not going to repeat myself. I think the Commanders make the postseason. I don't care about the 6.5 season win total. And I'm sorry for calling you a dummy. I do apologize. That is putting yourself out there.
I'm not saying you didn't put yourself out there. I'm just saying there's a middle ground between the contest and your initial statement. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough. The reason the bit is going to work is because you and Mike Somich, and you two have such egos. It's like, both of you started betting about 10 minutes ago, and then you just all of a sudden want to take shots at me. And listen, been at VSiN for 5.5 years. Trust me, I'm used to taking shots from donks. It doesn't bother me, okay? I can't even hear you from Los Angeles. I'm used to it. But friendship from you two? It just seemed a little disrespectful. So Dan Quinn, one of the best coaches in football, everybody would agree. What's so funny?
Because I've known you. I've done this with you for so long. One, I do know you genuinely believe this. But two, Not on Dan Quinn, that the Commanders are a good
No, team. That's true.
No, I know
that was I was being a little facetious.
The Dan Quinn thing's funny because he goes against everything you believe in for head coaches.
It's a little... Now, you could have picked the Giants.
Could have.
You didn't. The internet went nuts.
Oh, God.
It was buzzing over the weekend because Daniel Jones, coming off the ACL, was he exemplary in the preseason game? Nay. He wasn't. Here's the problem that I see it with the Giants. And I mean this. And I was going back and forth with Cohen about this over the weekend. I think Daboll is a donk. Daboll, here's the thing about Brian Daboll. Maybe he calls a nice offense. I don't care. Last year, his disposition on the sideline was abhorrent. Like the opposite of a McDaniel.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Pick your team up, dude.
Yeah.
A lot of this has to do with you. And this constant criticism of the quarterback, you guys chose to re-up with him. Figure it out and coach him up.
Yeah, I think he's actually had Daniel Jones's back more than probably most would. Let's hear from Brian Daboll following one of the ugliest pick sixes you're ever going to see. I don't care if the game didn't count and it was preseason, but this was Brian Daboll following the game where Daniel Jones looked awful against Houston over the weekend, talking about his quarterback.
Well, I thought there was two plays that I'd like to have back, that we'd like to have back, but I thought he played fast. I mean, it's different when you're out there in practice. This was good for him to get out there and get some live reps with a rush and the ability to get hit. He had that scramble. But I'd say he operated well in the pocket. Obviously, the backup play, we've talked about that one. We'd all like to have that one back. The interception, you know, it's a one-on-one throw. Down the sideline to Hyatt. So got to do a good job of saving some space and going up there and giving him opportunity. Then if the ball's up there, we got to go up there and get it. So I thought he made a lot of good decisions as the game went on, made some nice throws.
Oh, I actually, you know what? I like that answer. I was surprised by that answer.
No, it makes me
remarkably positive.
You know,
I mean, this is a dude. I know it was fortuitous, but a couple of years ago, it was the quarterback of a team that went to the postseason. Do it again.
Yeah, but there's no Saquon Barkley to dump the ball off to and let him run 60 yards with it. See, the problem with Daniel Jones is, like, all the skills are good. He's super athletic. He's really fast. He has decent accuracy. He doesn't have great arm strength, but it should be enough in today's NFL with the way they build these systems. Like, all of it should lead to a successful quarterback, but the problem is he takes so long to make decisions. Like, I think we've all thought the Giants' offensive line has stunk for years, and I don't think it's a great line. But I think Daniel Jones' indecisiveness, did not know if I was going to say that word correctly when I was thinking of it. I'm happy I did. His indecisiveness has been why we've thought that offensive line's been, like, bottom five in the league. There's a chance that someone else could come in, i.e. Drew Locke, and do more with this offense. I'm over the Daniel Jones experience.
I'll say this. Daboll looks freaking fantastic.
So do you think that's why some people are higher on Daboll now, because he's skinny? Because there are people out there that don't respect or like fat people.
I'm not fat shaming anybody. I just said he looks fantastic.
Yeah, no, I think people, there's a vibe when that's your leader.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think, look, we're in a weird place in society. We're grown-ass men. Go clout farm on social media because you're on a diet. That's not the world I grew up in. No offense, big guy.
Just taking shots.
Just go take care of yourself and don't clout farm on social about it. Like, Daboll just showed up skinny AF. And his wife too. I wasn't putting you down. You can go chase some clout on Twitter.
Oh, I'm going to continue. DMs are open, ladies.
Yep, at Dustin Sweetelson. Hey, ask the pro. SharpMoney@VSiN.com. Professional bettor Steve Fezzik is going to join us next. We've got to get into the horse racing conversation as well.